Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, a simple prayer for a simple life for us. Help us to seek you with all our heart. Help us love you with all our mind and strength. Help us rest in you, trusting all will be well with our soul. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David, son of Jesse, was known as a man after God's own heart. This is how Luke records the Apostle Paul speaking about God's perspective of David. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He, again meaning God, he testified concerning him, that is David, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. That is God's testimony concerning David, a man after God's own heart. Would you like to be known as a man or as a woman after God's own heart? Look at David's life. Full of ups and downs, good things, and some very evil things too. Still a man after God's own heart. Remember, David conspired and caused the death of Uriah the Hittite to cover David's sin with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Yet David was still known as a man after God's own heart. Nathan the prophet confronted King David, and David repented. Psalm 51 is a record of David's broken heart for his sin before the Lord in repentance. God testified, according to the Apostle Paul, that David will do everything that God wants him to do. Not perfect, but a heart desire deep inside David. Do you have that heart desire deep inside of you? A psalm written by David gives us a glimpse into David's heart. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." One thing for David was to be in the presence of the Lord and live forever in the presence of the Lord. That was his heart cry. That is what David desired to seek with all of his life, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even with his frailties, his failures, David's heart was to seek the Lord. New American Standard Bible, Psalm 27, verse 8, translates it a little bit different than we heard from the New International Version earlier. New American Standard Version has that first part, God speaking. "When you said," that's God said, "seek my face, my heart," that's David's heart, "said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek." So when David heard God say, "seek my face," David's heart responded, saying to God, "Your face, O Lord, I will seek." And to seek the face of the Lord means to seek the very presence of the Lord, to see his face, to be in that presence of God. David wanted to be face to face with God. "I will seek your face, O Lord." That was David's deepest desire, was to seek the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord. That is the kind of heart David had. And that's the kind of heart I hope I'm growing into. That's the kind of heart I want to have. And I hope that's the kind of heart you are growing into. Just, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I will seek the Lord's face. I will seek to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's not a matter of being perfect. We don't have the strength to be perfect, nor do we have the ability to be perfect. But we can still say in our heart, I will seek Him. Above all things, at all times, I will seek the Lord. I will seek His face. I will seek to dwell in the house of the Lord. I will seek. Nathan confronted David, and David repented. There is just something spiritually powerful. The way God has ordered the universe, something very, very spiritually powerful about repentance. Especially that repentance from deep inside. True heart repentance. It's the way God has ordered the universe. The Gospel of Matthew records that Jesus began to preach. Pay particular attention to Jesus preaching. Repent. Here is the Son of God beginning to preach, and Matthew records he begins with, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. How important is that first part? Repent. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very important to repent, because the Son of God begins His preaching with repent. God has ordained the way. The way is through repentance. Gospel of Luke concludes with Jesus telling His disciples that repentance and forgiveness will be preached in His name to all the nations. Repentance and forgiveness in His name. The way to seeking Jesus is through repentance. Leaving that old life behind for a new life with Christ. A new life in Christ. Are you willing to leave the past behind and seek that new life in Christ? The way begins with repentance. The disciples, they were willing to leave all behind to follow Jesus. In other words, to leave all, to seek Him, to follow Him, to simply be with Him and be His disciple. After John the Baptist was arrested by Herod Antipas, Jesus went to Capernaum, and very likely He went to stay with Andrew and Simon, whom Jesus named Peter. Matthew chapter 8 fills in a little more about Jesus in Capernaum at Peter's house. Archaeology in Capernaum has found a house that has much circumstantial evidence to support its importance in early Christianity. And that supporting evidence draws the conclusion along this line. What other house would have become a focal point of early Christian worship? A simple, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, first-century home has become a central point of early Christian worship if it was not the relationship of Jesus and the disciple Peter. And this, then, would be Peter's house. Peter, who would become the leader of the early believers after Jesus' ascension to heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Capernaum, Peter's house, most likely this was Peter's house, had become a gathering place for the early Christians. That's what archaeology shows. Jesus preached, repent. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he preached, repent. Jesus, walking along the sea, sees Simon and Andrew. Come, follow me. James and John received the same call. Come, follow me. Often we assume that this is their first interaction with Jesus. But as we draw a bigger picture across these Gospels, such as I shared last Sunday from the Gospel of John chapter 1, Andrew and John followed Jesus. When John the Baptist pointed and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Remember that? Andrew and John most likely were disciples of John the Baptist. And when John said, "Look, the Lamb of God," Andrew and John got up and followed Jesus. And then Andrew goes and gets his brother and brings his brother to Jesus. And Jesus says, "You are no longer Simon, you are Peter." So very likely these four, Simon and Andrew, James and John, had been with Jesus. Even Jesus staying in Peter's house is likely. But now there's a change in their relationship. From being fishermen, hearing Jesus and hosting Jesus and spending time with Jesus, listening and seeing all that Jesus was doing, now come came the call to follow me, to not simply be a listener, but now be a follower, be a disciple, to leave all and follow him, to become that inner group that will be raised up to one day become the apostles, to lead and build the church of Jesus Christ. These four left a stable home, a business, a father. The sons of Zebedee left the father. Peter left his mother. Family, to follow Jesus. "I will seek him," is what they did. "I will seek him in a wholehearted way." Everything is on the table. Nothing is held in reserve. Andrew and Simon left their nets, meaning they left their business, their livelihood, everything they had learned up to that point in their life. They left it all to follow Jesus. James and John did the same thing, leaving their father Zebedee on the shore in the boat, leaving him, leaving their boat behind. For some hearing this today, God may be calling you to do the same. To leave your business behind. Leave what you've ever known and what you've trained for to follow him. High school students, middle school students, elementary students, God is calling you to follow him. Maybe this is the day you hear and your whole future has now changed. You want to follow him into full-time called ministry. That's what this means. I will seek him. It's all on the table. You can't say, "Well, all this, but you can't have that." That's not following him. That's not seeking him. Put it all out there. Nothing held in reserve. Andrew, Simon, James, John, they left everything to follow him. That's what it means. I will seek him with all my heart. It begins with giving your time. I will seek him. Put God first, for he is the most important bare necessity of life. The living God. You need the living God in your life. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, and the four were with him as disciples. And as they traveled, Jesus started calling more from all different walks of life. They heard Jesus preaching, witnessed Jesus healing every disease and sickness. News spread about Jesus, and the news was more likely about the healings than the preaching of the good news of the kingdom. Matthew writes, "From far and wide, people came. People were brought to Jesus from far and wide. The suffering, the ill, the paralyzed, the demon-possessed. And Jesus healed him, healed them all. The crowds began to grow. Large crowds began to follow him." But we learn later, the large crowds were following Jesus for what Jesus was doing. However, they were not following to just be with him, to seek him with all their hearts. The Gospel of John witnesses this, that after Jesus had fed the 5,000, not counting women and children, and Jesus went up and prayed in the mountains and then went down and crossed the water, walking on the water. Well, the next day, the people found Jesus in Capernaum, in the synagogue. And Jesus said this to the people who came looking for him. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." I will seek him is about seeking Jesus for who he is and what he has done. These were seeking Jesus for another meal because their tummies were full. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Unless you eat of my flesh, you will have no life." The people responded, "That's too hard a teaching," and they checked out and they left. The crowds dispersed. Jesus turned to disciples, "Are you going to leave me too?" And you know the answer that came back, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Seek Jesus about who he is, the living Son of God. He is the Christ. And seek him for what he has done, forgiveness of sin by dying on the cross and rising again to never die again. To seek him, he is redeemed from sin and the power of death and the power of the devil to give you a new life in his name. I will seek him is about so deeply desiring in your heart that you will do anything just to be near him and be with him. Remember the days of dating? And guys, particularly the extraordinary things you would do to be with the gal or near her, the things you would buy, the crazy stories you could tell your kids about what you did when you were courting your mom, your wife, now their mom. That's what it means. I will seek him to be with him, and I will do whatever it takes in my life to just be near Jesus, to be with him. I will seek him with all my heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek him first. Seek his righteousness. Seek the Lord. That must be first. That's your part. Your part is to seek him and seek his righteousness. Determine in your heart, everyone here, from the youngest to the oldest, anyone of any age can do this. Set your heart to seek Jesus with all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, all your soul. Make that determination. I will seek him. His kingdom and his righteousness. And you have this promise to you from God. And all these things will be given to you as well. The strength to meet the day. The faith to face what the day may bring. The courage to go through suffering as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to love the unlovable, to show grace and compassion and be forgiving, even towards your tormentor. You will be given a new heart. You will be given a new life. You will be redeemed. You will be forgiven of all your sin. You will be adopted as a child of God and with an eternal inheritance in heaven waiting for you. The place, the Gospel of John chapter 14 says, is prepared for you. Don't look at this like this fashion. Well, what must I give up? Don't look at it that way. Don't look at what you're giving up. Don't look at what you're going to go without. Don't look at any of that. Instead, look to what you will receive from the living God when you say, I will seek the Lord. Don't look at what may be called for you to leave behind, a net, a boat, your family, your things. Look at what you're receiving from the Lord. His very presence. Himself. That's what you receive when you say, I will seek the Lord. So learn from the disciples. Learn from King David. Learn from the Word of God about what happens when you determine to say in your heart, I will seek the Lord. You will become a person after God's own heart. And you will be able to say with the fullest of confidence the same words King David wrote many years ago. You will have assurance it means for you too. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a part of all these things will be given to you. Seek Him. Seek Him. And this is yours forever. Amen. And amen.